She first mentions that empathy is the ability to take the perspective of another person. That's what I was talking about in the beginning. We have to come to terms with our worldview. What makes us the way that we are? Are we naturally empathetic, or are we not? Are we funny, or do we just try to be, or are we not funny? Are we a grouchy person, or are we a benevolent person? Whatever the list is, where are we coming from? And then when we meet somebody who has the direct opposite characteristics, so often we try to plow through discussions and debates without considering the other person's perspective. Why are they trying to argue this? That's what empathy is. She elicits a chuckle when she says that empathy is about staying out of judgment, which is difficult to do because we all enjoy it so much. And everybody chuckles because we realize that's our nature. But you see this in politics all the time. This is why politics is so stupid. Oh, you Republicans hate poor people, right? That's the judgment statement. Or, oh, you Democrats, you hate small businesses. And you make these sweeping judgments about a whole group of people when 98% of the fact, that's not true at all. But we sweep and we judge people, we characterize them, and we judge them based on these false accusations. When it's really, we disagree about the way to get there perhaps, probably do, but that doesn't all of a sudden mean, well, that means this equals this, which means you hate those people, right? But we do it all the time. We make these sweeping judgments because it's a lot easier to demonize somebody and say, well, you just don't really care about this, or you don't care about those people. We do it in church all the time. We may disagree about this theological doctrine, and the next thing you know, well, you really don't care about God anyways. Well, wait a second, of course, I love God and I'm trying to pursue Him, but we just disagree about this particular tenet. The missing piece in all these discussions is empathy. It's the ability to say, okay, I know where I'm coming from and I know what I believe passionately. Why does this person, because I'm not going to doubt or question their motivation. I'm not going to question their intention of love or towards a relationship. So why are they so goofy in my mind when it comes to X, Y, or Z? That's what empathy is about. When you're able to empathize with someone, there's not a lot of things that are more powerful. A classic example of this is C.P. Ellis. He was a rather well-known Klansman in the KKK in the Durham, North Carolina area in the late 60s and into the 70s. And in 1971, he was invited to take part in a 10-day discussion about desegregating the schools in Durham. And he was selected because there were other Klansmen on the council, and so they kind of represented him to make sure that, you know, he got done what he needed to get done. Also on the list of this committee was a woman named Ann Atwater, this militant African-American woman who he hated and she hated him. And here they were supposed to sit down for 10 days and talk about at the heart of their struggle with their racist situation in North Carolina. But an interesting thing happened to Ellis, because Ellis, what was driving his racism was that he has been convinced that these black families were taking the jobs away from white families. Careful now, this sounds awfully similar to situations. He was convinced that that was happening. And so he was driven by a good cause. He wanted his white brothers and sisters to be economically viable. But what happened was, as he began to sit down with folks of a different color and meet their families and meet their situation and find out that, guess what? They were frustrated by the same thing and were dealing with the same struggles. And it convicted Ellis so much that he left the Klan and he became a civil rights leader, because he realized through empathy, through sitting down with someone and seeing their situation and understanding that, wait, I had demonized this whole situation and it wasn't true at all. I had robbed them of their humanity. And as we sat down and we realized we were fighting for the same thing and nothing good was happening, because they began to talk about the children, black children and white children, and neither situation was good. Empathy is a powerful tool. Brown talks about empathy being feeling with people. I love that little clip there. The contrasting sympathy and empathy. Empathy is, I can't imagine what you must be going through, and sympathy is, oh, that stinks for you. Empathy is, this stinks for us. And if you can't see therein the connection to the church and the role of the church in empathy, I've not done my job very well. feeling with people. It's kind of like what this whole hashtag MeToo thing is, right? I mean, that's what that all is. It's about empathy. It's about somebody having the courage to say, this happened to me, and somebody saying, you know what? It happened to me too. That's empathy. And this building movement of people that are saying, this has happened to me too, and I just wanted somebody else to say that. I just wanted somebody else to kind of free me of my guilt and fears and be able to provide a safe space. And again, this is what the church is supposed to be. She ends the video with this statement. Rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection. It's harder to segue any easier into Scripture than to say the church is the connection which is supposed to foster an environment of empathy. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, Paul instructs the early Christians to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn. I don't know how well we do that when we come together here at Alum Creek, but we seek to do that. We seek to hear how your week is. And inevitably, in the size of a church this size, some of you had difficult weeks and some of you had really good weeks. And it's impossible to fake it, right? If you had a bad week, it's impossible to fake excitement. But you can try to be empathetic and say, man, I'm so excited for you. And we have some people, Tyus won his big football game Friday night, and Clark made his basketball team, and Lacey made her basketball team, and we're excited. Crosby is still here and healthy, and we're still celebrating that birth. And we rejoice with those who rejoice. And just at the same time, we're still ached from the loss of Rod Farrell a couple months ago. We still know that across the street, Margaret's still continuing to take care of Chuck and deal with the struggles of that long, long dementia that he's facing. And we do our best as a church to live into those moments. And we say, this is exciting. We all celebrate these moments. And this is difficult, and we all struggle through the difficulty. Because as I said in the beginning, all we really want is to know that someone is there and cares for us. That somebody is there, that Kristen can get up and talk about her aunt, and that it hurts us too. I don't know Judy. I think I might have met her once or twice, but I know Kristen, and my heart aches with her. But that's what the church is supposed to be. And yet we come and we sit around on Sundays and give a handshake and talk about how crappy the game was yesterday, and off we go to another week. And Jesus is sitting in the midst of us going, come on, guys. Talk about your life. He's saying, if not here, then where? And instead we go off and we go home and we complain about the church and we complain, nobody's calling me. Well, nobody's doing anything to help me feel encouraged. That's not empathy. Empathy's picking the phone up and saying, hey, I haven't heard from you for a while. Hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. Hey, how was your week? Hey, I didn't get a chance to connect with you this week. Empathy is what the church is built on. Because it's built on Christ. Galatians 6:2 instructs us to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carrying another's burdens demands our empathy. I have friends who aren't Christians, who aren't part of a church, and sometimes I just wonder how they make it through some of the stuff they make it through. Because all I've ever really known is the life of the church, where people are here for each other, where people will, where I can lean on them and they can lean on me. And I just wonder sometimes what it must be like not to have that. Paul instructs the Galatians, you got to pick each other's burdens up because you're going to face stuff. And I don't know if you can make it on your own. But you're here for each other. Philippians 2:4 says, each of you should look not only for your own interests, but also the interest of others. Probably heard it a million times. There's no I in team. There's no I in church either. Medically, yeah, it works out pretty well, right? There's no I in church. The church is a collection of God's people. It's no wonder Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in the midst of World War II, in the midst of the challenges that the German church was facing, he so relied on his church family that he said, it is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in community with Christian brothers. How often do you burst through the doors every Sunday and think, it's nothing but grace that allows us to be a community here. It's nothing but Christ's love that pulls us together. And sometimes it's almost like every week is a seven-round boxing match, right? You just get beat up for 6 days. And finally, do you come to the church looking for salve, looking for some kind of recuperation, some kind of encouragement. And of course, you can't wait until Sunday, but that has to permeate the week, that a text, a call, a lunch, a dinner, something from a brother or a sister that's just like a shot of adrenaline in your arm, a spiritual adrenaline that says, okay, I can keep going. I can keep after it. Now, you may know, not everyone is gifted in the same amount of empathy. Some people are naturally empathetic and some people have to work really, really hard with it. As a matter of fact, you can kind of test it. And so we're going to watch this 60-second test to see how empathetic you might be. Ben, throw that last video up there. I watched a stupid video twice on Friday, and both times I about fell asleep in my office. I yawned both times. I don't know that it's quite as dramatic when you're watching on the big screens, but it was interesting that he says that you can test your empathy based on were you affected by it? Could you tell, even if you didn't yawn, like immediately, just seeing the word yawn up there, so the more inclined you are to read the emotions of other people, the better that video, that test kind of brought it out of you. But the point is this. The point is, it's not like you've been given 5 doses of empathy and you got to get the most out of them. Empathy can be learned. Empathy is something that you can improve on. You could probably go the other way too, but let's just focus on getting better. And I really think that empathy is a matter of discipleship. That as you begin to deepen your relationship with Christ, that your empathy meter should improve. Like the more you realize what Christ has done for us, the more you realize what he's forgiven you of, the more empathetic you should be towards others. The less judgmental you should be towards others. The slower we should be at casting accusations. Matthew 7:12, Jesus gives us the famed golden rule. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. This is an exercise in empathy. Think about how you would feel if you were that person. Like, that's what empathy is. I think, as we close, I think there are 2 big kind of overarching messages from the Bible about empathy. I think the first one comes from Hebrews chapter 4, where the Bible says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. It's another way of telling us or reassuring us that Jesus gets you. You're going to be looking for somebody along the way who you can lean on, who you know understands you. And the Bible is clear that says, you know, I don't know how you're going to feel this. I don't know how comforting it's going to be to you in presence, but Jesus gets you. Jesus understands you. It's one of the great teachings of Hebrews, that we don't have a high priest who doesn't get you. Doesn't understand what your life is like. He gets you. And as the church is the continuation of Jesus' ministry, it's the Luke, then the Acts of the Apostles. We're carrying on that ministry of empathy from Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, the Bible says that these early Christians were together and had everything in common. They got each other. It's kind of ironic being part of a group of churches and its heritage that has long wanted to kind of emulate the first century church. And I heard lots of sermons about how they took communion, they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, and they did all of that, but we never talked about how they held everything in common. It was never about emulating their life, it was always about kind of emulating their worship. But more important than their worship was the way they lived together, the way they got each other. Empathy says, I hear you, and while I may not agree with you, and I may not even understand you, I will try. And I will continue to seek to do that. empathy may seem like a strange thing. Over the course of this year, 52 weeks, we've picked 52 different words that we've really focused on. And here is the word empathy. Is it that valuable? Is it that important that we would focus one of our kind of core Sundays about it? Yes. Empathy is at the heart of what we're supposed to be about in the church. And so this morning, I just want to end by encouraging you to allow this place to be a safe place for you to share. That these are your brothers and your sisters in Christ. They can take it. Empathy is about trust. Do you trust me to bear your burden? Do you trust me to share in your burden? Do you trust each other to share in your burden? Because when we don't, we're just going to kind of play it neutral and just kind of hug and howdy, and that's kind of the extent of it. But as we've seen in these passages of Scripture, Christ's desire is for more than that. To really care and uplift each other. And as much as we can, work towards making this place a safe place to share. We're going to close this morning with the greatest command, because I think that the essence of empathy is love. Love that God has for us. So if you'll stand with us and we'll sing this song.